Good morning. Very warm welcome to Newbury Baptist Church today. It's great to see you and to welcome you on this Easter Sunday morning. By the way, don't the flowers look fabulous? Aren't they brilliant? All I can do with flowers is kill them by forgetting to water them. But these, they're wonderful, and there's some on the way in too. They really are gorgeous. So thank you to those who've done those for us. Thank you too to everybody who came along and participated in and helped with the Disciples' Way. We've had a fabulous six sessions together. And if you want to pick up on a bit more of what went on, have a look at the postcards over there afterwards, and they'll tell you some of what we learned on the course. Now, here's a story for you. Back in the darkest days of communist Russia, when services like this were pretty much banned, they had a tradition that every week there would be a meeting in the factory, and anyone who wanted to could take part. So the party official led that meeting, said, anyone else want to say something? An old man who had been a priest but had been forced to leave that calling behind came up to the front, looking out at this great crowd of people. He said, the Lord is risen. And this massive chorus came back of people shouting, he is risen indeed. This was a faith that was supposed to have been killed off by communism. And when he said those words, the Lord is risen, every Tom, Dick and Harry in the chat factory shouted, he is risen indeed. Get up on your feet, will you? We're going to do that together. And I hope we're going to do it loud enough for them to hear it at least down halfway down Cheap Street. So when I say the Lord is risen, I'm not an old Russian priest, but it should still work. When I say the Lord is risen, let's bellow back, he is risen indeed. And then we're going to sing together. You ready? The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's remain standing as we pray together. Father, on this day, for this hope which knows no bounds, we thank you. As the sun touches the earth and brings it to life, may you touch each heart and soul here, we pray, and bring your glorious hope this Easter day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing two songs now, just focusing on lifting up the name of God. So please join me in singing those.
I'm so glad.
to please sit down. Now, I wonder if anyone's looked to see which box I've got today. Anybody notice? Which one is it?
Yeah, science.
It's the science box. Come and have a look. We're going to have a look and see what's inside it in a moment. I'm not going to open it just yet. Just sit down for a moment. Now, if I were telling any other minister this, I would say, don't for goodness sake do this untested on Easter Sunday. But hey, got to live a little, eh? So I'm using something this morning that I have never used before. I'm going to bring it over here. Could we drop all the lights? Put all the lights out, please. Now, there's a bit of a story to this. This is an idea that came from someone who works in the Czech Republic, and it was then made by a friend of mine who was a retired telephone engineer from Ghana, and then it got put on the removal truck, and then it got brought here, and I never, ever used it. So today, we're going to see if we can use it, because hopefully we're going to make some rather special shadows through there. That would be the plan anyway. There we are. Oh, the light is shining through. This is encouraging. Now, let me move this out of the way. And what I'm going to do is get some of you to hold these things up. And what you have to do, if you put them behind here, can you see my hand, look? So if we put them behind here, then people should be able to see. So, Gabriel, do you want to come and do the first one for me? You come here, look. And I'm going to give you this. And you need to hold... You hold it up, you start by the light and then bring it closer. When you recognise it, you can tell me what it is. So pop it here, look, and then move it a bit closer to the front. And anybody see what it is yet? Sound like Rolf Harris, doesn't it? What is it? Push it a bit further, push it. Can you all see it now?
Yes.
Hey, it's a bunny. That's not what Easter's about. Right, Kerris, you come and try one. Let's see. You come and try this one for me. Let's see if that one works, shall we? So, start by the light, and then move it further forward till people can recognise it. What is it? Yeah. It's a chair. I don't think that's what Easter's about either. Let's try something else. You going to try that one for me? What is it? It's an egg. Well, no, it's not really what it's about either, is it? Shall we try something else? You going to try this one for me? Okay, mine out, Kerris, look. Just go, that's it. Now, what's that one?
Lamb.
It's a little baby. They are pretty cute, but it's not really what Easter's all about, is it? We've got one more in here. Who hasn't had a go? Do you want to go? You can probably all see that one straight away. Well, that is kind of what it's about. But I think maybe if you take that one down... The best thing that it's all about is what's left on there now. Bright light, nothing in the way. Open and full of hope. Now I'm going to try something else. I'm going to hold this there. See if you can see some colours coming on the front there. Can you see some colours coming out on the front? If you look, you should be able to see not just white, but can you see different colours coming through?
Yeah, a little bit.
You can a little bit, can't you? Let's try from there. Now and move it in. All those little colours of the rainbow. And now coming in through that. Do you know, I once got into real trouble with this. Sit down a minute. I got into real trouble because I kept it on my desk. And do you know what happens when the sun comes through a piece of glass like that? It gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And I was on the phone to somebody and I saw smoke coming up from my desk. Because the sun had come in through this and it started to melt something on top of my desk. And I had to stop the phone call and say, excuse me, there's a fire. Can I just put it out and then I'll come back to you? You see, when the light comes in through that, all the colours start to show. You can see it better here, look, see? All the colours start to show through it. On Easter Day, the world turns into a brighter place. On Easter Day, all the shadows are gone, and all that colour comes in. Now, I want you to help me with something. I wonder, Bethan, could you come in and help me too? And some of you have got one of these nice bright blobs on your seat. Can you see if you can find it? I'm going to give each of you one of these. I want you to think about somewhere that's a dark place or someone who's a bit sad perhaps today or a place that's a bit sad. Who else wants one? Kerris, do you want one of these? Now, can we get some of those out? Could you go and give some of those out to the grown-ups for me as well, do you think? There we are. Now, I'm going to ask you to think of someone who's sad or a place that's sad. I'm either going to ask you to write a name on it if you want to. There's some pens just there. Or you can draw a smiley face on it. Or you can just think about them. Then in a moment, we're going to bring those prayers up. Excuse me. We're going to bring them up here. And we'll turn all this darkness into light with our prayers. So if you've got one, write something on it. I'll ask you to bring it up in a moment. Do you want one? I'm going to go stick that on for me in a moment. Not quite yet. Anybody else want one? Anybody else want one of these? Here, should we give one? Oh, there we are. I shall bring it on to you. You got one from Bethan. That's brilliant. Okay. Anybody else? Right, so have a little think for a moment. Think about a dark place or somebody who perhaps is feeling sad today. And then in a moment we're going to pray and we're going to come and stick them all up there and we'll turn the darkness into light. So have a think for a minute. Okay, well, I'm going to pray, and then when I've done that, please come and add your prayers onto here. Father, thank you that Easter Day brings the most wonderful light. And for dark places, and for those whose hearts are dark and sad today, we pray. As we bring these prayers forward now, hear them, please, and make a difference in lots of places and lots of lives. Amen. Come and stick them on. Come and stick them on here for me. If you've got one, come and add it on, and we'll change the darkness to light. You pop it on here for me, look. Well done, that's brilliant. Is it going to stick? Let's make it stick. There we are. Okay. Okay, who else has got one? Shall I take it for you? All right, I'll subcontract to you, Beryl, just once. Okay, anybody else got one? Come and add them on. Let's turn the darkness to light, shall we? Brilliant, thank you. Okay, thank you. What a difference your prayers make. How much they change the world. Let's see the words of this next song, shall we? There is a hope. We're going to stand and sing that together. Thank you.
If you'd like to stand.
Thank you. Do sit down. Well, I say that confession is good for the soul and church is as good a place as any. So I have to confess I am clearly getting old because I now listen more to Radio 4 than I did to Radio 2. It's just happened. It's happened. Oh! to Radio 4 fans in the congregation this morning. Now, a couple of Easters ago, I was driving along in the car just before Easter, and they were talking all about a pangram. Now, a pangram is a sentence which has every letter in the English language, but only once. So, a bit like the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. You probably did it when learning to type. But that one has them several times. A pangram has every letter only once. And nobody's managed to make one yet. It is probably impossible. That got me thinking about how you would tell the Easter story if you didn't have all the letters. And then I thought about telling the Easter story, especially using the vowels, which is what we're going to do now. Now, the relevant people have the relevant vowel, and when I say that vowel, and I will make it very obvious, they're going to bob up with it. So we're just going to try it. A. E. Oh, all half-hearted there. We'll try it again. A. E. I. O. U. Excellent, we have got that right. So you all need to listen carefully as you've got the cards, because when your letter comes, you need to bob up so everyone can see you. We're going to hear the Easter story, perhaps as you haven't heard it before. Are you ready? A. Up, said Peter. I. Don't know about you, but I. Can't just sit here thinking. E. Said John, who'd developed an inexplicable northern accent. I reckon you are right. Just then, Mary burst through the door. Oh, Peter, she said. Oh, John, you won't believe what I have just seen. What? Chorused the two men. He's risen, she said. He's risen, I tell you. Ah. Oh, said the men. Thank you for telling us. Quick as a fox jumping over a lazy dog, John and Peter took off for the tomb. John was a little bit quicker and he got there first. Oh, said Peter. E, said John, standing in the midst of the empty grave. You are not kidding. He's really risen. O's the word. This is a new day for you. They all said, pointing at each other. Give them a clap. E, you've never heard it like that before. Let's stand up and sing together, O to See the Dawn.
Bearing the awesome.
Please sit down and invite those going out to their groups to do so. Some wonderful craft waiting for you this morning. We're going to stand and sing a gorgeous Easter hymn together, and after that, Mary's going to come and read the next little bit of Matthew's Gospel to us. Let's stand to sing.
NIV Bible, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, the resurrection, Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'"
Thank you, Mary, very much. Let's pray together. Father, for this wonderful day and for this hope which stretches down through the ages, we thank you. And now for your word, we thank you too. In Jesus' name, amen. Little tip for you. If you're ever going to have a conversation with someone at the gym, do it before your session. Just saying. Otherwise, there's not much breath left afterwards, or at least not in my case. Mind you, I did obey that rule earlier on this week. It was 10 to 7 in the morning, and the guy next to me, who's an accountant, said, "So, how's your week, Richard?" And thinking he was talking about this week, I went into this long spiel about how busy it was. In fact, he meant the previous week, but that's another story. I said, yeah, it's a bit busy, really, and it is. You know, Easter week, for me, is ever so slightly insane. You know, you have Thursday night, you have Friday morning. In my first church, we had Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday afternoon, early Sunday morning, first service Sunday morning, hospital service in the afternoon, and then evening service. It really was very, very busy. Why do we bother with it all? Why is it that we bother? All this business, all these services, all the flowers, all of it. Why do we bother with it? Because, you know, as I said to First Thursday, and as I said to Girls Brigade, Easter and the possibility of the resurrection changes absolutely everything. Without it, I have nothing to say of any lasting use to anyone. Without it, I'll never again hold the hand of a dying person and tell them and mean it that all will be well. Without it, I'll never stand at the front of this church again at a dedication service and tell the parents that the very best thing they can do for their son or daughter is to introduce them to Jesus. The resurrection changes absolutely everything. But you know, one of the things that we've come to appreciate about Matthew's gospel as we've worked our way through it since the first Sunday of the year is this: it's the little details. It's the way he tells the story. You know that big truth that the resurrection changes everything. But in the little details, there are all kinds of riches for us. And I just want to point out two or three of them to you this morning. Here's the first one. Come and see. You see, other religions tend to hide away the sacred things that are at the heart of what they believe. I was watching a documentary last night about the Silk Road, and the guy presenting it was visiting one of the Zoroastrian temples along the way. And deep at the heart of a Zoroastrian temple is a sacred fire that never ever goes out. Very few people are allowed to see it. Just up the road from where Jesus had been buried was the temple in Jerusalem, with the outer court and the inner court and the holy of holies, and hardly anybody was allowed to go in to that sacred place. Some religions have their idols hidden away, and everyone's told that they are there, but no one is allowed to see them. The golden discs of Mormon, on which the Book of Mormon are based, nobody has ever seen. But here we are, at just about the holiest moment. Here we are at just about the holiest place in the whole story of the Christian faith. Here is the epicenter of a spiritual earthquake, which has already warped the laws of the physical universe and will go on to make all kinds of things possible. Right at the heart of all of that, there are two angels, first of all saying, "Don't be afraid." By the way, it's in the Bible 365 times, one for every day of the year. But they then go on to say this. Have a look at it. Verse 6. "Don't be afraid. Come and see. Come and see." No secrets, no veil, no tickets only, no special passes. They say, look, come on in and see. It's like the voice of God coming to Moses from the middle of the burning bush saying, come closer. It's like Jesus drowning out the voices of the disciples when they got really irritated because people were putting their children on Jesus' lap. And Jesus says, no, let them come to me. It's like the voice that comes literally on the very last page of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. The bride and the spirit say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes come and drink from the water of life. You know, I am so glad. I'm so glad to be part of a faith which has the door firmly wedged open to the promises of God. And on that day and at that moment, the first thing the angels have to say is, look, come and look for yourselves. No secrets here. You know, before I came here, I was involved in a £900,000 redevelopment project for a church. And it took a lot of money and a lot of time to raise that. But you know what? After spending all those £900,000, do you know what we needed most? A 99p door wedge. Because we built all these flash doors and all these flash premises, but there's nothing welcoming about a closed door. So then we had to go down the road to the local DIY store and buy some 99p door wedges to prop the doors open so the whole thing seemed that bit more welcoming. Sometimes you'll go to a fancy hotel or a fancy conference centre, and as a doorstop, they'll have a big piece of polished stone. Listen, the stone at the entrance to the tomb of Christ becomes the best doorstop in the whole of human history. And it gets rolled away from the stone and wedged against the doorway to the kingdom, propping open the door to the mystery and the blessing of God forever and ever. Yes, there are still things we don't understand. Yes, there are things that we'll only get the other side of glory. But until Christ comes back, there is a huge sign on the open door of the kingdom of God saying, come on in. And I am so, so grateful. And it all starts with the angels at the heart of the earthquake, saying, come and see. First little detail. And here's another one. You see, the impossible thing has happened. The world has changed. I was at the early service this morning, which involved a rather peculiar experience for me, at least, of walking through Newbury at 6:30 in the morning. And I have to tell you, it's not an entirely pretty place. You know, you walk across the market square and all the evidence of everything that had gone on the previous night is there. It's all scattered around. On that first Easter morning, scattered around in broken shards on the ground, were the laws of the physical universe. Shattered to smithereens by what had happened. By this point, Jesus has died for sin, his sacrifice has been accepted, the faithful have been informed, and the angels have done their job and have said, look, trot off into Galilee and he'll meet you there. Verse 7. He has risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee, and you will see him. Look, it's all sorted. All the things that are meant to have happened. They are sent on their way, ready to go and meet Jesus. So why the heck, then, in verse 9, does he take them by surprise, like a kid jumping out from behind a bush and going, boo! You know, they've been told that they're going to go off and they're going to have a meeting with him. And then they've got not even half the way there when suddenly, verse 9, he surprises them. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. Why does he do that? Why does he do that when they're being sent on their way to a formal meeting anyway? Why does he jump out and take them by surprise? Because that's what he's like, that's why. Because we have a God who loves to confound expectations. You go back to the story of the wedding in Cana, Jesus' first miracle. And it's not just that he turns the water into wine, but he turns it into the best wine. And it's not just that he turns water into the best wine, but he turns it into, if you work it out, 153 bottles worth of the best wine. You see, he loves to confound our expectations. When his people cross over the Jordan, it's not just that they cross over the River Jordan in flood season without drowning. It's they cross over and don't even get their feet wet. When Daniel and his friends are in the fiery furnace, it's not just the fact that they survive it, but we're told that they walk out and there isn't even the smell of burning on their clothes. When Jesus raises a little boy from the dead, it's not just that he raises him from the dead, it's that he then hands him back to his mum and says, you might want to give him a snack. Always confounding expectations. It's not just that Jesus says, look, you really ought to give the coins to Caesar that belong to Caesar, but he then plucks a fish out of the sea and plucks a coin out of its mouth to prove his point. When the end of all things come, not only will his faithful ones, these disciples, be there, but we're told that there'll be tens and hundreds of thousands from every tribe and nation and colour and tongue standing there in this great tapestry of redeemed humanity before him, forever confounding expectations. Listen, Jesus was saying, you ain't seen nothing yet, long before Hoover was saying it. I'm so glad to be part of a faith where experience has taught me never to believe that I've seen everything from God yet. Never to believe that he has not yet got something up his sleeve with which to surprise me. Time and time and time again. You know, that same redevelopment project I talked to you about, we knew it was going to cost 900,000 or possibly even a million. So we launched it with a gift day in the church. And as the deacons, the leadership of the church, we said, well, look, you know, unless we get £20,000 in, the church isn't serious about it. So we'll do this and we'll see. And if we don't get that, then it wasn't of God and we won't go ahead. So we set up, it being me, you know, I'd never do things by halves. We set up a cement mixer at the front of the church and we encouraged people to come and to put their offerings into it. £43,000. See, God confounds expectations. A friend of mine, I was talking on Thursday night about some of the times I spent in Serbia. I was never there in the most dangerous times. A friend of mine was. And he was crossing over half a bridge because NATO had bombed the other half of the bridge over the Danube. And, of course, it was very, very slow, so all the cars were having to queue to go across. And as he's getting closer to the head of the queue, he's praying, Lord, can you just get me through this? Can you please work a miracle and get me through? Anyway, he gets to the head of the queue, hands over his UK passport. And the communist guard, who clearly was not the cleverest, looked at it and said, ah, communist brother from the Ukraine, go on through. You see, God confounds expectations and he loves to surprise us. I thank God. I thank God that I'm part of a faith that has the door wedged open where there are no secrets and God says, come and see. I thank God that I have a faith that teaches me to expect the unexpected. But there's another surprise still coming in this passage. Let's be honest, with all the things we've seen in the past few weeks, the disciples have not entirely covered themselves in glory. They haven't really distinguished themselves, have they? They're the most privileged group of people in human history because they got to spend time with Jesus in a way that you and I will never do. And look at them. You know, one of them's betrayed him. One of them's denied him. They've all misunderstood him. And frankly, at this point in the Gospel of Matthew, not a single one of them has bothered to go to his grave. And given all of that, given that catalogue of failures, what does he call them? Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers. It's going it some, isn't it? You know, the perfect Son of God with all the power of heaven at his fingertips, incapable of sin and more perfect than you and I can possibly imagine, calls this bunch of half-believers my brothers. That is generosity on an enormous scale. These people with all their foibles would become the advance guard for the kingdom of God. They would follow on as the first fruit after his resurrection. Paul talks about it in Romans as the firstborn amongst many brothers. Just, I know we don't do this in British churches, but just look around for a minute at the people around you. If you spot anybody perfect, please identify them. We'll have them thrown out as an imposter. Because there aren't any. Nobody perfect. I read an article from the New York Times yesterday, and the writer was saying that we have become a little bit drunk on self-belief. This is what he wrote. As I looked around at popular culture, he writes, I kept finding the same messages everywhere. You are special. Trust yourself. Be true to yourself. Movies from Pixar and Disney are constantly telling children how wonderful they are. This is the gospel of self-trust. He has a point. We have become a little bit overdosed on self-belief and the idea that actually we are perfect. Listen, you might be fooling yourselves, but you're not fooling God. Jesus looks at this bunch of people who have let him down at every turn. He looks at this bunch of people who could scarcely keep up with him. And he nods and he calls them my brothers. Full of surprises, Matthew's gospel. Just one before we go. Since this is the last sermon in this series on Matthew, I wanted to show you just one more little surprise that really matters. Chapter 28 in verse 6, if you've got it in front of you. The angels say, he is not here, he has risen just as he said. And that's the important bit. You see, all the way through Matthew's gospel, he's constantly saying, just as the prophet said, just as the prophet said, in order to fulfill. And now suddenly, it's like all that expectation on all the promises of old suddenly comes to rest on Jesus' shoulders. He's done it, just like he said. So everything he's ever said, you can believe. Listen, the ultimate litmus test of everything that Jesus ever said came in the moment of the resurrection. And if it's true, then like the picture on the screen, it brings God's light flooding onto everything we do and say. Listen, friends, whatever you're struggling with today, look at the light. See it coming in and changing everything. And trust him for all you're worth. Let's pray together. Father, for these words of Jesus, for this open door to your kingdom, we give you our heartfelt thanks today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing together, Low in the Grave He Lay.
Waiting the coming.
Friends, on this Easter day, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.